Now a logo appears of a thick-maned lion, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Titles appear in a page of sheet music decorated with a fleur-de-lis, An American in Paris. Copyright 1951 by Lowe's Incorporated. Starring Gene Kelly as Jerry and introducing Leslie Caron as Lisa. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Brian Gould, Robin Sitton, Michael Braden, and Leslie Wu Foley. Read by Chloe Lehman. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free at 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Credits continue with Oscar Levant, Georges Guitéry, and Nina Foch, and presenting the American in Paris Ballet. Story and screenplay by Alan J. Lerner. Lyrics by Ira Gershwin. Music by George Gershwin. Musical direction, Johnny Green and Saul Chaplin. Choreography by Gene Kelly. Produced by Arthur Freed. Directed by Vincent Minnelli. Now, a marble statue of Mercury atop a winged steed guards the entrance to Place de la Concorde. Leading the way west lies the broad, tree-lined Champs-Élysées. In the plaza's fountain, jets of water shoot from the hands of bronze-sculptured women into a colossal bowl.
This is Paris, and I'm an American who lives here. My name, Jerry Mulligan, and I'm an ex-GI. In 1945, when the Army told me to find my own job, I stayed on. And I'll tell you why. I'm a painter. All my life, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And for a painter, the mecca of the world for study, for inspiration, and for living is here on this star called Paris.
L'Arc de Triomphe.
Just look at it. No wonder so many artists have come here and called it home. Brother, if you can't paint in Paris, you better give up and marry the boss's daughter. We're on the left bank now. That's where I'm billeted.
A stone building.
Here's my street. In the past couple of years, I've gotten to know practically everyone on the block. And a nicer bunch you'll never meet. Back home, everyone said I didn't have any talent. They might be saying the same thing over here, but it sounds better in French. I live upstairs.
In a window, a young couple kisses tenderly.
No, not there. One flight up.
Above them, jars of paintbrushes line a window ledge as we gaze into a cozy one-room apartment. A young man wearing striped pajamas sleeps in a bed next to an artist's easel.
Voila!
Jerry's eyelids flutter, and he looks at us, then rolls over. His eyes open wide, and he sits up with a groggy yawn. As he opens the door, a hand reaches in offering a brown paper bag. Jerry accepts it and shuts the door. Standing in the only empty spot among cluttered sketches and supplies, he stretches, then hoists on a dangling rope, which raises his bed up to the ceiling. Jerry shakes a pastry out of the bag and glides through his cramped room preparing for the day. Fluidly, he kicks an armchair across the floor, opens a small closet, and rolls out a table and chair, complete with a vase of flowers. He grabs a towel from a small bureau attached to the inside of the closet door, then flips up the leaves of the table and sets out a kettle. In an elegant twirl, he kicks the closet door closed, opens a pair of balcony doors, and takes a deep breath of morning air. Retrieving a water pitcher and fruit bowl from outside, he sets them on the table and notices a self-portrait. Gazing at the handsome boyish features of his charcoal likeness, Jerry swipes his thumb across its somber mouth, forming a slight grin. He then smudges the portrait with a rag.
Jerry!
Three children wave to him from the street.
Those are three of my pals, Etienne, Maurice, and Jacques. I'm their man because I give them American bubblegum.
He smiles fondly.
Oh, I have a lot of good friends in Paris. A lot of very good friends.
And I am one of them. Adam Cook is my name. I'm a concert pianist. That's a pretentious way of saying I'm unemployed at the moment. I live in the same brick pile with young Rembrandt.
A young man beams at caged songbirds.
Nah, that's not me. He's too happy. I'm over here on a scholarship. Last year, I won the Hackenwall Prize and was sent abroad to study. That's the 8th fellowship I've won. And you know something? I'm getting pretty homesick. Not only that, but I'm beginning to feel like the world's oldest child prodigy.
He reaches for a pack of cigarettes on his piano.
You know, one time I ran out of fellowships and had to go to work for a living. I had to stop because I discovered I was liking it and I didn't want to become a slave to the habit.
He lights a cigarette.
It's not a pretty face, I grant you. But underneath its flabby exterior is an enormous lack of character. I like Paris. It's a place where you don't run into old friends, although that's never been one of my problems. Strangely enough, I made a friend over here once. I worked for him. His name was Henri Borel. You know, the French music hall star. Do you remember him?
At an outdoor market.
I do, because that's me.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour. Oh, Adam was a fine accompanist. I wish he were still with me. My, how nice to be in the old quarter.
Bonjour, bonjour.
You see, everybody recognizes me.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I guess I haven't changed so much after all. And they've known me a long time. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't mean to imply that I am old. I'm not. After all, I am only... Well, what's the difference? Oh, no, no. That's not me. I am not that young.
A second man in a crisp suit.
Let's just say I am old enough to know what to do with my young feelings.
The suave Henri strolls to a cafe and spots its heavy-set owner.
Georges! Georges! Henri Borel!
They vigorously shake hands.
Georges, mon vieux, comment vas-tu?
Très bien, merci. Mais pourquoi n'es-tu pas venu nous voir?
Oh, ce n'est pas que je n'ai pas voulu, mais tu sais les représentations tous les soirs.
Henri embraces Georges' plump wife, Mathilda.
Oh,
Henri, quel sexy!
Tu penses, c'est dans la lune des journaux. Alors, il faut venir me voir, hein? Je vous laisserai des billets à la caisse n'importe quel soir.
He spots Adam playing beside his upstairs window.
Adam?
And then taking that vow. Oh, that's nice work if you can get it. And if you get it, dites-moi, won't you tell me how?
You used to sing at a tone higher.
I'm a big boy now. My voice is changing. Shall I come up?
No, I'll be right down. Hey, George, some coffee.
Entendu.
In the cafe.
Oh, I'm going to make you an omelette à la confit.
The old friends embrace.
Don't kiss me, you'll spoil my makeup.
You look great, Hank. What are you doing? Taking injections?
Oh, something much better.
I hear your show's a big hit.
It is, naturellement.
Naturellement.
When did you get over?
Last March. I phoned you, but there was no answer. I'd have phoned you again, but I was afraid you might be in.
March? I wasn't in Paris then. Liz and I were visiting friends in Juan les Pins.
Voilà les brioches.
Mathilda brings a basket of fresh rolls.
Coffee, please.
What are you working on?
Same old concert.
When are you going to give it?
When I can't figure out any more reasons not to.
Fred.
Merci, tu es un...
Coffee, please, huh?
Oh, I took Liz to hear Weingarten play the other night. It was her first concert, and her eyes were shining 2 days.
Why don't you take her to an eye doctor? Incidentally, who's Liz? That's the second time that name has come up.
Adam, I am very happy these days. I'll show you her picture.
Are you married?
Not yet.
Pretty. Very pretty. She looks familiar.
She's Jacques Bouvier's daughter.
Jacques Bouvier? Oh, Jacques Bouvier.
Mais oui.
Cafe. Georges pours café au lait for Henri, but neglects Adam.
My coffee. Mon café, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, pardon, pardon.
He pours Adam's coffee.
Ah, poor Jacques. He was caught in the resistance. I took care of Lise all through the occupation. She lived in my house.
Your house? Shocking, but generous.
Oh, she was a little girl then. We only became in love after she left.
She's a little young for you, isn't she, kid?
No, not really. She's 19.
She's getting on. What's she like?
Well, she has great vitality and joie de vivre. She loves to go out and have fun and dance. She could dance all night.
Sounds tiresome. Kind of a wild kid, huh?
Wild? Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, you said she
likes... She's very simple.
Very simple.
Mais oui.
Mais oui.
She works all day at the Maison Nicole, the perfume shop.
I'd prefer not to discuss the matter any further.
Oh, be serious. Oh, she's an enchanting girl, Adam. Not really beautiful, and yet she has great beauty.
In a gilt-framed mirror, a reflection of the two men dissolves into an indigo-colored room decorated with an ornate archway and candles. A slender young woman in a pale pink dress walks toward us with fluid, high-legged steps. Her ruffled dress twirls as she pirouettes three times and poses with a pleasant, toothy grin.
Very spiritual type, huh?
Not at all. She's an exciting girl, Adam.
The set changes into a stylized bordello with lavender tables and drapes. Dressed in a slinky, deep blue bodysuit and high-cut skirt, Lisa dances around a chair. Kicking out her long, slinky legs, she exposes her stockinged thighs. Squatting in front of the chair, Lisa arches her back and holds a sexy, outstretched pose.
She seems to be a lusty young lady.
Oh, no, she's sweet and shy.
Now, in a pale green flat, Lisa wears a sunshine yellow dress and holds a bouquet of white flowers as she steps daintily on point. High on her tiptoes, she moves slowly, ending with one leg raised behind her.
An old-fashioned girl, huh?
Of course not. She's vivacious and modern.
In a scarlet-red nightclub, Lisa kicks out her legs in a frilly white flapper skirt.
Always yakking it up, huh?
Don't be silly. She reads incessantly.
The set changes to a pale yellow library. Reading an open book in her hands, Lisa stretches one leg above her waist and spins herself onto a tabletop. Dressed in a tight black schoolboy uniform and cap, she spreads her legs in a full split. Her eyes remain fixed on her book as she turns a page, slides off the table, and does a slow one-handed cartwheel. In a fluid motion, she lands, raises one foot over her head, and rests it against the wall. She reads calmly, her legs stretched from floor to ceiling.
Doesn't all of that reading make her moody?
Never. She's the gayest girl in the world.
Now, in a pale lavender music room, Lisa pirouettes in a peacock blue tutu and ballet slippers. Her short auburn curls bounce as she tirelessly twirls around the room with bright-eyed enthusiasm. As she comes to a stop, each of her personalities appear around her: the schoolgirl, the flapper, the beautiful dancer, and the shy sweetheart. All of them smile and wave. The personalities pose with their arms raised high in the air. Lisa fades away, and the mirror reflects Henri and Adam in the cafe.
Look, let's start all over again, shall we?
He picks up her picture.
What's she like?
Morning. Jerry carries his paintings downstairs.
Good morning, Therese. How are you today, monsieur?
Well, I could be better, Therese. I'm broke.
Oh!
That means I have no money. Trouble is, when I'm broke, I don't eat. When I don't eat, I get tired and depressed. When that happens, the only thing that'll help is wine and women.
That should be very simple, monsieur. You are in Paris, no?
Yes, but even in Paris, that takes money, which is what I don't have in the first place.
Later, Adam plays at the cafe.
This isn't music. It's uncivilized. It's noise. Hi.
Hi. Jerry. This is Henri Barrel, Jerry Mulligan.
How do you do?
Oh, I know you. I've heard you sing a thousand times. You're wonderful.
Thanks.
Excuse me. Hey, Adam, you wouldn't have 300 francs on you, would you? I'm going to Montmartre and I need lunch money.
Sorry, kid. Bought a postage stamp this morning and it broke me.
Oh, please, allow me.
No, thanks. I never touch a guy unless I've known him at least 15 minutes.
I've known him 15 years. Lend me 300.
Henri hands Adam a wad of francs and he gives them to Jerry.
I wouldn't lend him money if I were you. He's a bum risk.
Adam, for this you win a scholarship? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Evidently, the man doesn't like jazz.
He's against it.
What else is there?
I know what he likes. He's strictly a three-quarter man.
Voila.
Ah, old Vienna.
Ah, Franz Josef.
Und mein Wein.
The Palace of Schönbrunn.
Danube Bleu.
Café with Schlagobers.
And Wiener Schnitzel.
Eine kleine Nacht, Musik.
The waltzes of Middle Europa. They charm you and warm you within. While each day discloses what Broadway composes is emptiness pounding on tin.
Mein Herr!
Mein Herr!
Bitte, bitte!
Danke, danke!
Auf Wiedersehen!
They salute.
How can I be civil when hearing this drivel? It's only for nightclubbing souses. Oh, give me the free and easy waltz that is the Viennese. And go tell the
band. If they want a hand, the waltz must be Strauss's.
Strauss's! Dog! Pig!
Jerry pretends to skewer Adam with a sword.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give us some pawpaw.
When I want a melody leading through the house, then I want a melody. Sings, the world is in rhyme,
swinging to three-quarter time.
Adam pinches Henri's cheeks.
Let the Danube flow along, and the Fledermaus keep the wine and give me song.
Why, Strauss, by Jove, by Jing, by Strauss is the thing.
So I say to Hachacha, Heraus!
Rouse!
Just give me a hum, papa. Why, Strauss?
Jerry wraps a checkered tablecloth around his head like a scarf and dances with Henri.
When I want a melody lilting through the house, then I want a melody.
Jerry's eyes twinkle as Henri lowers him in a dip.
It laughs. It sings.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la. Let the Danube.
Leaving Jerry, Henri takes Matilda by the hands. Swiftly pulling her in, he bounces off of her ample belly. Adam stands and points as Georges enters.
By Jove! By
gentlemen, the Emperor!
They lift a chair onto a table and help Georges onto the makeshift throne. Henri and Jerry bow before him. Jerry bows to a petite white-haired woman and takes her arms. Matilda beams, and Henri pretends to play a violin as Jerry elegantly twirls his partner out to the sidewalk. In front of an audience of passers-by, the couple sidesteps heel to toe. They turn back inside, and everyone bows to Georges the Emperor. Jerry clasps hands with both Matilda and the old woman. All three raise their arms and do a Rockette-style step and kick. Matilda bounces gaily as they spin around, and Jerry drops to one knee. Adam's fingers dance across the keyboard as the entire ensemble twirls around him in a gleeful waltz, then stops, arms raised. Later, Jerry carries his paintings up a street. He wears loafers, khakis with rolled cuffs, a sweater with pushed-up sleeves, and a white cap set at a carefree angle. He gazes at one artist's painting of colorful lines and fuzzy circles. The artist flips it over and grins proudly. Further up the street, another artist argues with a policeman. They stop and chat amiably with Jerry. Later, Jerry passes a stout man with a cigar clenched in his bulldog-like grimace. As the man works on a canvas, Jerry stops and suddenly does a double take. Finally, he arrives at an empty stretch of sidewalk and greets another artist.
Hey, Marie, comment vas-tu aujourd'hui?
Ah, bonjour, Jerry, ça va bien?
Beaucoup de touristes aujourd'hui, Marie!
Oh, pas beaucoup!
As pedestrians meander down the street, Jerry hangs his collection of unframed street scenes on a tall stone wall. A young woman strolls by and stares at Jerry's oil paintings.
Oh, boy, they are still. Trace and Terrazon.
Relax, sister. I'm from Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
I can understand disregarding perspective to achieve an effect, but in your case,
look,
I
honey,
believe that...
why don't you be a good little girl and move on? You're not going to buy anything. You're just blocking out the sunshine.
Well, I just wanted to discuss your work.
I don't want you to discuss my work. I'm not interested in your opinion of my work. If you say something nice, it won't make me feel any better, and if you don't, it'll bother me. Thank you. Good day.
As she leaves, an elegant lady steps forward.
Do you mind if I look, or will you chew my head off, too?
No, go ahead. You're okay.
Oh, thank you.
She's one of those third-year girls that gripe my liver.
Third-year girl?
Yeah, you know, American college kids. They come over here to take their third year and lap up a little culture. They give me a swift pain.
Why, they're harmless enough.
They're officious and dull. They're always making profound observations they've overheard. Say, do you have a cigarette?
I think so.
Thanks.
Don't you like criticism?
Who does? Tough enough getting it from those who know.
The woman offers him a cigarette and a gold lighter from her purse.
My first today.
Oh. My guess is the business isn't very good.
Your guess is right on the nose.
Her blonde hair wrapped in a tight braided bun, the woman wears a blue tailored suit, white gloves, and carries a mink fur muff. Tall and slender, she raises a pair of glasses to her eyes and examines Jerry's work.
You know, I like these two.
Thanks, so do I.
I want to buy them.
Surprised, he frowns at her.
How much are they?
Gee, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, I never thought I'd come to the point where that would be an issue. Offer me something.
15,000 francs.
15,000 francs?
For each.
For each.
Will that be satisfactory?
That'll be good and satisfactory. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
What do you care?
Jerry grins.
That's about $50 a piece, isn't it?
I don't know, lady. I haven't changed any money lately.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I haven't got enough with me.
Oh. Well, come back tomorrow. It's a cinch they'll still be here.
I've got a better idea. Why don't you come to the hotel? I can pay you for them there.
Fine. Is it far?
Would you care if it were?
As he collects the paintings, the woman waves up the street to a classic convertible limousine, which pulls up beside them.
What's your name?
Jerry Mulligan. What's yours?
Milo Roberts.
Milo?
Yeah, as in Venus, duh.
Venus, duh.
He points to the car.
Is this yours?
Mm-hmm.
A chauffeur opens the door.
Maybe I should have charged you more.
Later, the two-tone green convertible limo pulls up to the hotel. The stone building is lined with archways and decorated with ironwork. Inside, Milo shows Jerry into her flat.
I'll be right back. Make yourself at home.
Thanks.
Jerry wanders into a spacious parlor decorated in the style of Louis XV. He gazes at a cabinet adorned with ornate scrollwork, a three-panel screen, regal upholstered armchairs, and a high-back sofa. Milo returns grinning with a handful of francs.
Here.
Thanks.
Would you like some sherry?
All right.
She pours two drinks.
Say, how'd you come by all these worldly possessions? A rich husband or a rich father?
Father.
Yeah, what's he do?
Oil.
I should have known.
Suntan oil.
Really? I didn't know there was so much in that racket.
There's a lot of red skin in America.
There must be.
Let's see now. Where shall I hang these? Maybe over on...
Look. Here's a good place. Good light. Not too much sun. Okay?
Yeah, that'll be fine. By golly, you know these are good. I've seen hundreds of paintings by young artists, and not one of them has impressed me till these.
Yeah? I'm glad. Makes it easier to give up.
Give up?
Yeah, it's kind of hard for an artist to sell. No, a writer, a composer, they can always buy a copy of what they create, but with a painter, it's the original that counts. Once that's gone, it's out of his life.
I never thought of that.
What?
Excuse me for a minute.
She answers a phone.
Hello? Oh, hello, Tommy. Oh, no, dear, don't come up. Be a darling and wait for me in the dining room, will you? I'll be right down. Right.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stay so long.
Oh, please, don't apologize. I wanted you to. I wish we had more time to talk.
Goodbye, then, and thanks again.
By the way, what are you going to do tonight?
Why?
Oh, well, I'm giving a small party here. There'll be an extra girl. Why don't you come?
I don't know.
Do you have a date?
No.
Well, then come. You'll find the company very easy. Nothing formal. Be here at 8.
Okay.
Oh, my car can take you home. He has nothing to do.
Jerry flashes a toothy smile.
Thanks.
Later, the convertible limousine rolls along the street to Jerry's apartment. From the red leather back seat, Jerry waves his cap to neighborhood children running alongside the car's white wall tires and flared fenders. The car stops in front of his building in the Café Huguette. Adam watches, dumbfounded, as Jerry gets out of the car and is immediately surrounded by kids. A boy points to a bubblegum bubble growing from his pursed lips.
No, je n'ai pas de bubblegum.
Demain, le bubblegum pour tous.
Écoutez, demain, tomorrow, we'll parle anglais.
Parlez anglais?
Oui! Silence, faites attention. Écoutez, je suis le professeur.
He frowns dubiously and points.
Répétez après moi. Do.
Do.
Three.
Three.
Lady.
Lady.
Window.
Window.
Flowers.
Flowers.
Bonjour, nous sommes très intelligents. Nous parlons en anglais.
A kid slaps his rear end.
Ah, monsieur le wise guy. Pour toi, un mot très difficile. A very hard word. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Hello, maintenant. Une chanson américaine. Oh. An American song. Dis-moi. I got.
I got.
Bon. I got.
I got.
Good. I got.
I got.
Tous ensemble.
I got.
Bon. Mais toujours la même chose. I got.
The kids spread out and he points to a little girl.
I got.
Rhythm.
He points again.
Music.
I got.
My gal, who could ask for anything more?
I got.
Daisy.
I got.
In green pastures.
I got.
My gal, who could ask for anything more? Old man Trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him round my door. Vous comprenez ça?
Non! I got
rhythm.
I got
music.
I got
my gal who could ask for anything more. Who could ask for anything more? La même chose en français. J'ai du rythme. J'ai de la musique. J'ai ma chérie, who could ask for anything more? J'ai des daisies dans green pastures. J'ai ma chérie, who could ask for anything more?
He breaks into an easy tap dance.
Old man Trouble, I won't find him. You won't find him hanging round my door. Comprenez ça maintenant?
No!
I got it!
Patting his thighs, Jerry tools around the kids, then waves his arms loosely as he taps in place.
Say le time step.
Le time step.
Ah, oui, le time step. Say le shim sham.
Le shim sham.
He kicks out his feet.
Charleston.
He throws his arms forward with the beat, but taps backward. He moves his stiff arm back and forth and pretends to pull a whistle.
Choo-choo train! Choo-choo! Soldier!
Soldier!
He salutes and marches in a goofy circle. Then he pretends to slide his hand between the buttons of his jacket. Gallops and pretends to whirl a lasso.
Up along, Cassidy!
Yeah!
He taps softly, then leaps at one of the kids, which jumps back giggling. After a few soft steps, he bursts into high vaulting kicks. Placing a finger across his lip like a mustache, Jerry pretends to twirl a cane.
Yeah!
Bending up his left leg, Jerry hops back and forth over it with his right.
Aeroplane!
Stretching out his arms, he bends at the waist and twirls like a propeller.
Who could ask for anything more?
Jerry fakes a pained grimace. The kids wave as Jerry throws out his hands and drifts into the doorway of his apartment in a loose, stylized saunter. Now, Milo's flat, she wears a strapless gown.
Good evening. I'm sorry I'm late.
Good evening.
The moment I went in to dress, the phone started ringing like a steeple on Sunday. Would you like one of these?
Fine.
I've never seen so many Americans in Paris before. The Champs-Élysées looks just like Main Street.
Do you live here all the time?
Oh, no. I usually go home to Baltimore for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
That's quite a dress you almost have on.
Thanks.
What holds it up?
Modesty. Cheers.
Cheers.
They sip their cocktails.
I see it's a formal brawl after all.
What makes you think that?
Well, the more formal a party is, the less you have to wear.
Oh, no, you're quite wrong. It's most informal.
Where is everybody?
Here.
Downstairs?
No, here in this room.
What about that extra girl?
That's me.
Jerry's eyes widen.
Oh, you mean the party is just you and me?
That's right.
Oh, I see. Well, that's kind of a little joke, isn't it?
In a way.
He takes her francs out of his pocket.
Well, lady, here's your dough back. I'll take my pictures and run along.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait my foot. You must be out of your mink-lined head. I know I need dough, but I don't need it this badly. If you're hard up for companionship, they have guys in town who do this kind of thing for a living. Call one of them. What's so funny?
You! You're so righteous. Now stop defending your honor so assiduously and listen to me for a minute. I don't need a paid escort. And I'm not trying to rob you of your precious male initiative. I'm simply interested in your work and I want to get to know you better. Now, is that such a crime?
Well, it certainly is a roundabout way to do it.
Would you have accepted a normal invitation?
No.
I want to help you. I think you have a great deal of talent. Now, it doesn't hurt to have somebody rooting for you, does it?
It'll be the first time anybody ever did.
Well, then, let me. Please.
She takes the paintings from him. Suddenly, he grins.
How's the food downstairs?
Very good.
And probably very expensive.
Would it embarrass you if I signed the check?
Yeah. Let's go someplace I can afford.
I know. How about the Café Flaudert on Montparnasse? I feel like some jazz hot, and it's not very expensive.
It better not be. I'd like to show a little profit at the end of the day.
He puts the wad of bills in his pocket. Later at the jazz club, a narrow flight of stairs leads down to a cafe clouded with cigarette smoke. Archways decorated with primitive cave drawings lead to crowded rooms of cocktail tables and dancing couples. Jerry and Milo share a table for two.
How long did it last?
Oh, about 2 years. I lost him in the war.
I'm sorry.
To another woman.
Oh.
Somebody met in California while he was in training.
Well, if he was the dog you said he was, you must have been glad to get rid of him.
Well, I was, I guess, except that I...
Except that it would have been much more satisfactory if you could have kissed him off.
I guess.
You know, you should get married again. You need it.
Why?
Everybody does. Everybody has to have someone to account to. Especially when you don't work, it keeps the personality together.
No, thank you, not for me. Besides, I have work to do.
What?
Well, for the moment, you. I want to bring you to the attention of important dealers. They know me. I'm a big customer. We have a large collection at home. I could sponsor you, talk about you, encourage you. And then when you've done enough canvases, I could arrange for your first show. That is, if you'll let me.
Sounds great, but what's in it for you?
Well, just the excitement of helping somebody I believe in and finding out if I'm right.
Milo!
A man with a broad, dimpled smile approaches.
Tommy, I knew you'd turn up here. Oh, Tommy, this is Jerry Mulligan. Jerry, this is Tommy Baldwin. He's on the Paris Telegram.
Hello. Hello there. Milo, darling, I'm showing the Jansons around, and I need your help.
What do you say, Jerry? Shall we go to his rescue?
Anything you like.
Follow me. You need radar to find where in the smoke.
Milo collects her white fur stole and carries it across the dance floor, weaving past young couples in sweaters and t-shirts.
Who are the Jansons?
Magazine illustrators.
What are they like?
Death.
Henri's fiancée, Lisa, cuts through the crowd in front of Jerry.
Look what I found.
Hello. Milo, what a pleasant surprise.
Jerry bumps into Lisa. She turns
Milo.
And smiles pleasantly.
Hello, Milo.
Jerry drifts to his own table.
Jerry Mulligan. Jerry, the Jansons.
Oh, hello.
Mulligan, isn't this the chap you told me about at lunch?
Yeah.
As Jerry pulls up a chair, he stares transfixed at Lisa.
Milo says you're quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see some of your pictures.
Oh, well, I'm having a private showing tomorrow at a corner in Montmartre.
Oh, you paint? So do we, Jack and I. We work together.
Oh, well, that's cozy.
Dance, you two. I want to talk to Milo.
As they head for the dance floor, Jerry takes Mrs. Jansen's chair.
Have fun.
Say, there's a very special doll sitting over there. Do you happen to know who she is?
No, but she is lovely, isn't she?
Jerry leans back in his chair and eavesdrops on Lisa's conversation.
You to see Jerry's work. Perhaps if you like it, you can get him a mention on the art page.
Nothing to it.
Lisa.
What?
Her name is Lisa.
Oh.
Milo, let's dance. We haven't for years.
They leave, and Jerry moves again, sitting in Tommy's chair, where he can see Lisa's face. He sets his head in his hand and gazes at her. Now on the dance floor.
Milo. You're going to have trouble with that one.
Oh, no, I'm not. He's just not housebroken yet, that's all.
When are you going to stop getting yourself involved with young itinerant artists? It never works. If they're no good, you're a shame. And if they are, they get too independent.
I just dance, Tommy, please.
All right, but I'm warning you, he'll be out in 4 months, just like the composer and the sculptor.
Milo casts a worried look over Tommy's shoulder at Jerry. Back at the tables, Lisa chats with her two companions. Catching Jerry's eye, she drops her pleasant smile and glares at him. He smirks flirtatiously, chuckling to himself. Suddenly, he rushes over to her.
Lisa, I didn't see you sitting here.
I'm afraid
Gosh, what a pleasant surprise. Why, just the other night, my wife and I were talking about you, wondering what happened to her. I'm Jerry Mulligan. Lisa, let's go around the floor once for old time's sake. Do you mind?
No, but you do.
Gripping her elbow, he takes her to the dance floor.
Well, you certainly not without your nose.
Now, don't get angry. This was perfectly harmless. I haven't been able to take my eyes off you since I walked into this smoke factory.
I only let you do this because I didn't want to make a disturbance.
And I don't have a wife. I just threw that in to make it look respectable.
Oh, that was very considerate. Now, please, I would like to return to my table.
In a minute.
She lowers her eyes as he draws her closer.
It's very clear. Our love is here to stay.
Across the floor, Tommy and Milo watch them.
I revise my estimate. Make that 2 months.
Holding Lisa to his chest, he smiles. She pulls back firmly.
Lisa, I swear this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. Well, at least as a civilian. I just had to meet you.
Look, monsieur, I don't know what type of girl you think I am, but I'm not. And now I would like to return to my friends.
I thought you were bored with them. You sure looked it.
You should see me now.
Ouch.
The music has stopped.
The elements are against me.
He follows her.
Lisa, it was swell seeing you again, and I will tell Elaine to call you. What is your phone number? It just slipped my mind the moment you said it.
Oh, Apparat 2574.
No, Lise. 2475.
Thank you. Good night.
At his table, his new friend sits stiffly.
Hi.
Hello.
Jerry sits down, still watching Lisa. Tommy cuts a glance at Milo.
Well, I'm tired. Good night.
Good night, darling. I'll call you.
Yes, good night, Milo. Good night.
Jack, say good night to Milo.
Good night, Milo.
Good night, Jerry.
Don't I owe you something for the wine?
Forget it. You do it next time, if there is one.
Jerry passes by Lisa's table.
Good night.
She stares straight ahead, then watches him leave. Later in Milo's car.
It's very clear. Our love is here. That was fun, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. That's a fascinating place. I'd like to hang around there for a while and paint it.
If you hang around there, I can imagine all the work you'll get done. Besides, you've already done a painting of a Montmartre dive, and it wasn't very successful.
Hey, wait a minute, another. Don't try to tell me how and what to paint. I don't like that.
I can tell you I didn't like your exhibition tonight. I thought you were very rude.
Rude?
I was? Well, I didn't mean to be. I'm
you
sorry.
You insist on picking up stray women. That's your own affair. But from now on, don't do it when you're with me. Is that clear?
Yeah. Yeah, that's clear. That's very clear. Stop the car, please.
You sensitive artist. You're all alike. You're as touchy as triggers about yourself, but you're oblivious
of
other people's feelings. You don't understand how they feel when things happen.
Mentor.
Other people wouldn't stand.
I'm sorry you got stuck with the two pictures.
I still like the pictures.
Thanks a lot.
The following morning, Jerry makes a phone call from the cafe.
Hello. Est-ce que Mademoiselle Lisa est là, s'il vous plaît?
Un moment, s'il vous plaît.
Lise. Lisa steps from behind the counter of an upscale perfume boutique.
Lisa?
Yes?
Jerry Mulligan. I met you at the Café Flaudel last night, remember?
Oh, you.
Yeah, me. Look, Lisa, it's a beautiful day out, and I thought I could drop by.
Well, now, one moment, Mr. Mulligan.
Mulligan.
Last night you were a small annoyance, but today you're growing into a large nuisance. Now, please, leave me alone, and don't call me again, ever.
Jerry hangs up and walks dejectedly to a cafe table, his mouth set in a mopish frown. He pours coffee from one pot and milk from another into his cup. As he lifts it to his lips, his face suddenly freezes and he sets the cup down. Milo's two-tone convertible and her uniformed driver stand on the curb in front of him. Milo, wearing a velvet coat and long burgundy gloves, sits at his table and smiles sheepishly at him.
Good morning. Would you care for...
Oh, no, thanks. I've had my breakfast already. I've been up for hours. Working, I might add, for you. Do you know Jules Parmentier, the art dealer?
I know of him. Why?
He came to the hotel and had coffee this morning.
He lights her cigarette.
I showed him your pictures. Oh, he was very impressed. He thought you had great individuality. He thought they were very fresh.
Well, that's wonderful.
Not only that, but he wants to talk to us when you're ready for your show.
Well, that's a long way off.
Maybe not such a long
way. Oh, yes, it is. I don't have near enough for an exhibition, and the ones I do have...
Oh, that's not important now. Anyway, then I went to the Marais Galleries and talked to Louis Dufond. He's a very old friend of mine. He's coming tomorrow to see the pictures.
You, don't waste any time, do you?
She gazes seductively.
I hope not. Why don't you come with me now? We'll talk about this later over lunch.
Well, I've something to do this morning, but I could meet you.
How about the restaurant Paul on the Avenue de l'Opéra?
All right.
I'll see you there at 1.
Okay.
She leans her elbow on the table.
I'm sorry about that little tip last night. I was tired, I guess.
Oh, forget it. I did.
You did? That's not very nice of you. See you at 1.
She leaves before he can rise from his chair. His brown eyes stare quizzically after her. Later, Jerry strides past shop windows on a sunny street. As he skips around a woman walking her black French poodle, he notices a sign for Nicole Parfumeur and steps inside. He spots Lisa waiting on a plump American woman.
All right, I'll show you something else.
What's that one on the right?
This one?
No, the other.
Jerry leans on the display counter.
Yes, this is very nice. It's called Escapade. There's a Says Lady Free at the other end of the shop, monsieur.
Thank you, but what I want is at this end.
I don't know which to choose. They're both lovely. Oh, I wish my husband were here. He's so fussy about the way I smell.
Well, why don't you bring him with you later and decide then?
That's an excellent idea.
He's in Milwaukee. Oh, dear, oh, dear, I hate decisions. I always get a rash if I have to decide something.
Why don't you let me help you, lady? After all, I'd have the man's point of view.
Yes, that's a good idea. Here, see which one you like.
He raises a decanter stopper to his nose.
Not bad.
Now, the other.
Oh, this is it. Nuit d'amour, night of love. No contest, lady.
Really?
You wear that and the Frenchman will never let you go back to Milwaukee.
Oh, I'll take it. Would you send it to my hotel, Colette?
Lisa opens a sales book and Jerry hands her a pen from his pocket. She reluctantly takes it.
Ah, here's my card.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think I'll put a little on. Oh, it is good, isn't it?
You'll need protection.
Oh, I hope so. You've been very kind. Thank you. Thank you both. Good day.
Good day. Now, monsieur, what can I do for you?
You know what you can do for me. Go out with me.
How do you know I'm not married?
Well, that finger on your left hand is awfully naked.
Oh, quel homme. You know, it's a pity you don't have as much charm as you have persistence.
But I have. You've only seen the aggressive side of me. Oh, I have a lighter side. I'm loaded with charm. I go to parties and put on hats and do funny things.
He pretends to drink a bottle of perfume.
Come on.
All right, you win. It's my lunchtime. You can take me for lunch.
Well, I can't. How about dinner?
Oh, no, that's not possible.
You have a date?
Yes.
Well, what about after dinner, say 9 o'clock?
She gazes thoughtfully.
Well, I guess it would be all right.
Good, I'll pick you up.
Oh, no, I'll meet you somewhere.
Okay, you know the Café Bel Ami?
By the bridge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll see you there at 9, okay?
Fine.
Mademoiselle, there is no happier man in Paris than Monsieur Mulligan at this moment.
He bows deeply and hops away in the wrong direction. Rolling his eyes, he points toward the door and leaves the shop. Passing Lise's customer outside, he deeply sniffs her neck.
Madam, you're delicious.
He pivots slowly away from her and skips lightly down the block, stopping to blow a kiss to two women on the sidewalk. Later, Adam composes at his grand piano. He leans his head back as he plays, wincing at the ceiling. Jerry arrives and leans dreamily against the wall.
Tra la 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 la, tra la.
One's company, two's a crowd. You get it?
La 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 la.
Disappear, don't you see I'm busy? Hit the boulevards.
La 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 la. This time it's really love, tra la la la. I'm in that blue above.
He removes his jacket and opens his shirt.
She fills me full of joy. Tell me, Papa, am I not a lucky boy? Tra la la la. Just listen to my heart go pit pat. It started from the start. I felt like that. Hum it, strum it, sing it, drum it. What a thrill I'm getting from it.
Hopping onto the piano, Jerry lies down and plunks the keys while Adam sulks.
This time it's really love, tra-la-la-la.
To me you're full of blah, blah, blah.
I've got le grand amour, dis-toi, papa.
Cherchez la femme toujours. La-la-la-la, oui!
She's got but everything.
Is there a dowry?
She's like a breath of spring.
Wow, you'll be sorry.
Hum it, strum it, sing it, drum it.
Nothing good can happen from it. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Jerry stands on the piano, tapping lightly in his loafers. He daintily holds out his shirt tail like a skirt. Adam tries to swat at him, and he misses as Jerry jumps to the floor. He shuffles to the piano bench, rocking stiffly like a pendulum. He and Adam run their fingers across the keyboard, meeting in the middle with a handshake. Popping up on the piano again, he lies back and kicks his feet gleefully. Jerry prances into the doorway, eyeing Adam's fedora hat on the bedpost. He puts it on and bucks his teeth, rattling his head until the hat brim falls across his eyes. He lurches forward, groping with his hands. He clamps the hat onto Adam's head.
Rah! Rah! Sis boom's off! Swing your partner with a tra-la-la!
Jerry hunches over, bouncing one foot across the floor. He spins like an airplane, whirling his arms first one direction, then the other. Gliding into the hall, he kicks against the inside of the door frame as he hops above the floor. Back in the center of the room, he twists his hips with blurring speed, athletically flailing his hands and feet. He lunges across the piano, leaning backward, he joyfully kicks the air.
Come in!
Damn it!
What a thrill!
Now, Henri and Lisa hold hands across a dining table.
C'est bien que je t'aime.
Hello?
Hello. What's new, huh?
Who's this?
Yes.
Oh, Adam! You always call at the wrong moment.
Wrong moment? You make me feel like a rejected child. Hey, when's the new number going into the show?
The new number goes into the show tonight.
What? Tonight, Henri?
Yes, darling, tonight. The time is going to...
What are you having, a party? Do you need an extra man?
No, I was talking to Liz. She's my dinner guest.
Give me a rundown on that menu, will you?
What?
What are you having to eat?
Magnificent pheasant.
Wow. Listen, I can drop everything and be up in 10 minutes. If I'm not intruding.
No. I see you later at the cafe. Fine, bye. Goodbye.
I'm hungry.
That Adam, he'll never change. What's the matter, darling? Can't you come to the theater tonight?
Well, I...
Then because, you see, if you can't, it's perfectly all right, darling. Don't worry about it.
No, of course I want to come.
You are adorable.
That night at the Café Bel Ami, Jerry paces under a pale yellow awning, wearing a gray suit and buttoned blue shirt. Lisa approaches behind him, wearing a long white A-line skirt, tight-fitting black waistcoat, and bow tie.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, thank you.
He holds a chair for her, and she sits cautiously.
I wasn't sure you'd come. I thought maybe you just said yes to get rid of me. Not that it would have.
Monsieur?
What would you like?
She eyes a man seated closely beside her.
Would you mind if we didn't sit here?
Why, no.
Anything wrong, monsieur?
No.
He trots after Lisa, already across the street. She smiles weakly as he catches up to her.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I didn't much feel like sitting there anyhow.
Her smile widens and she gazes into his eyes. Jerry brushes his hand against hers, then takes it gently.
Let's walk along the river.
All right.
Hand in hand, they stroll down wide stone steps lit by iron street lamps. Jerry slips his free hand into his jacket pocket and looks out over the water.
I have a big thing for this spot here. One of these days, I'm going to paint it.
You're a painter?
Uh-huh.
You don't look like a painter.
There are those, dear lady, who will tell you I don't paint like one either. But that doesn't bother me. Discouragement stimulates me.
All that much about you, I know.
Oh. Yes, you do, don't you? But mark me well, one of these days, the world will ring with the name of Mulligan. Picasso will be remembered as the forerunner of Mulligan. This tree will be famous because it was painted by Mulligan.
And when will this golden age of art be?
When will this golden age... Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Oh, a civilization has a natural resistance against improving itself. Might take quite a while. Quite a while.
Lisa's wide smile spreads across her face as she looks into his eyes.
How do you feel now?
Why?
Well, a moment ago, you were acting like the police were after you.
I was, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm. Why? Well, never mind. Don't try to think up what to tell me. I don't have to know. It's your business. Oh, candy. Would you like some?
Yes. I couldn't eat a whole one.
Go ahead. Try. The night show. We should look dangerously.
Later, Lisa sits on a wall overlooking the water. Jerry sits at her feet, his suit coat off.
Give me some more.
Well, in America, Saturday night's the big night. No work, no school. When you get home, no money.
And Sunday night in America?
In America, everybody catches cold on Sunday.
Did you?
Sometimes. What about you? Aren't you sick of the life and times of Mulligan?
She shakes her head.
I'd rather listen to you. I don't like to talk about myself.
Oh, you're going to have to get over that.
Why?
Well, with a binding like you've got, people are going to want to know what's in the book.
What does that mean?
Well, primarily, it means you're a very pretty girl.
I am?
Yes, you are.
How do you know?
I heard it on the radio.
Making fun with me.
Doesn't everybody tell you that?
I haven't been out with many people, and they're always friends.
Honey, believe me, I'm no enemy.
She takes her hand from his and gazes wistfully into the night.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Lisa, I don't know whether you're a girl of mystery or just a still water that doesn't run deep, but there's one thing I can tell you. Might have been around sooner, you'd know by now that you're very pretty. And I'm not making fun with you.
She steps gracefully away from him and leans against a far wall.
It's very clear. Our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go.
He strolls toward her.
But oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. Our love is here to stay.
Jerry tenderly takes her hands and draws her to the center of the promenade, where they melt into a cheek-to-cheek dance. Lisa pulls back, dancing away, but Jerry clutches her outstretched hand and brings her close. He circles her, then adoringly offers his hand. With her head on his shoulder, they stroll, matching each other's crisscrossing steps. Lisa's skirt twirls elegantly as she and Jerry flow around each other. He leaps, spinning in midair, then landing softly opposite her. They reach for each other, and Lisa drapes her arm across his shoulder, brushing lightly against his chest. She slips away, and he follows, spinning simultaneously with her. When she suddenly pivots and faces him, they both shrink away, placing their hands bashfully behind their backs. They glide reluctantly apart, skipping and twirling in their separate identical dances. As their bodies fly past each other, they stop and rejoin in an intimate embrace. Lisa buries her face in Jerry's shoulder as he leads her around the wide promenade. They turn on tiptoe, sweeping their legs in grand arcs. Parting again, they continue their sweeping kicks with their hands firmly clasped behind them. When they cross, they stop again. Lisa leans forward and gives him a lingering kiss. Jerry places his tanned, muscular arm around her shoulder as she encircles hers about his waist. Together, they wander along the misty bank of the Seine.
What time is it?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? I have to go.
Where?
I have to.
Wait a minute. When will I see you again?
I don't know.
Lisa, we have to see each other again.
Yes, we do. Don't we?
Tomorrow night.
No, I can't. How about lunch?
No, I can't. I tell you, Saturday morning I'm at the École des Beaux-Arts. I'm finished at noon. Will you meet me there?
Saturday, yes, I will.
Leaning down from the stone steps, she kisses him earnestly on the mouth, then bounds up the stairs. Now, Henri bursts from behind a theater curtain into a bright spotlight. In top hat and tails, he struts with a cane down a walkway above the audience. He spots someone in the audience.
Johnny, comment ça va? How are you? Excusez-moi, mesdames et messieurs, c'est un vieil ami américain.
It's madness to be always sitting around in sadness. Oh, when you could be learning the steps of gladness. You'll be happy when you can do just 6 or 7. Begin today, you'll find it nice. The quickest way to paradise. When you practice, here's the thing to do. Simply say, as you go, I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day. I'm going to get there at any price. Stand aside, I'm on my way. I've got the blues, and up above it's all fair. Shoes gone and carry me there. I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day.
Henry sashays down the center of a sloping staircase, which rises 20 feet above the stage. Each step glows with a soft pink light. Sheer side curtains lift, unveiling a tableau of women holding candelabras overhead. Showgirls in white frilly headdresses and sparkling trains parade down the steps, holding onto wine-colored banisters as they descend. As Henri reaches the bottom, the step lights blink out in a top-down ripple. They relight again as he steps up each one. Later, Lisa races through an alley to the theater stage door. Henri steps outside with Johnny, his friend from the audience.
Oh, I am delighted. This is a wonderful idea. Ah, tu vas
l'avoir plus chérie.
Lisa, I have wonderful news.
And this, I take it, is the young lady who's going to do all the deciding.
That's right. Lise, this is John McDowell, my favorite American impresario.
Oh, how do you do, monsieur?
How do you do? I've just been trying to persuade Henri to come to America and give us Yanks a break. He says he has to talk it over with you. You make him do it, Miss Lisa. I'll call you in a few days, Henri.
That's all right, Johnny.
And may I say your Lisa certainly lives up to your advertisement. Good night.
Thank you, Johnny. Good night.
Hey, Henri, I'm so sorry. I was late, but the movie
never
was...
Never mind the movie. What do you think of the news? John wants me to go on an American tour. We could get married and go together. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Oh, yes. Yes. When would you go?
Oh, not for a few weeks. John will have to see first about bookings. Oh, but it could be beautiful. A honeymoon on the boat, then America. Oh, Lise, you love the Americans.
Lisa forces a smile, which quickly fades as Henri bears her away. Now, in Adam's room, Jerry reclines on a couch, smoking a cigarette as his friend plays.
I don't think I'll fall in love today.
Adam peers out the window.
Your limousine is here, sir.
Thanks.
This sponsor of yours, what does she want from you in return? Don't tell me. I shock easily.
You're crazy. She isn't interested in me. She's just a good-hearted kid who likes the way I paint.
That's real dreamy of her. Tell me, when you get married, will you keep your maiden name?
Jerry gets to his feet, stares heavily at his smirking friend, and leaves. In the stairway, his landlady washes the steps.
Hello, Therese.
Monsieur Jerry, don't pay any attention to Monsieur Cook.
I don't intend to.
Suppose you do have to make love to the lady. It's all for the sake of art.
I don't have to make love.
He waves in disgust and walks outside. Upstairs, Adam lies on his back in bed, gazing dreamily at the ceiling as he takes a long drag on a cigarette. The scene gradually dissolves to a concert hall where Adam plays in front of an orchestra. His fingers dance on the keys. He stares with calm concentration. Cloaks the orchestra musicians, larger-than-life shadows of the double bass players move on the back wall. Adam pushes back his tuxedo coattails. Beside the piano, the conductor leans into a spotlight. It's Adam. He conducts with broad, flowing hand movements, watching the pianist Adam critically. The violinists are all Adam, too. Conductor Adam smiles approvingly at his pianist. Xylophonist is another tuxedo-clad Adam. His gong. Adam the conductor leads the orchestra with dramatic sweeps of his hands. At the piano, Adam breaks into a relieved smile and stands to take a bow. Conductor and pianist warmly shake hands. In a box seat, another Adam jumps to his feet. The two onstage Adams acknowledge him with soured smiles. The daydream ends, dissolving back to Adam lying on his bed. Slowly, he gets up and walks over to his piano, where he puts his cigarette in an ashtray and pulls a bottle of Coke from an ice bucket. Elsewhere in Paris, Milo's chauffeur lets out Milo and Jerry from the limo. Jerry follows Milo into an apartment building's courtyard.
Who am I going to see here?
Never you mind. Wait and see.
Wearing a plain brown business suit, Milo brings Jerry to an upstairs door. A nameplate reads Mulligan. Jerry sends his sponsor a questioning glance as she opens the door. It's a spacious, fully furnished studio apartment with a wall of windows and an easel in one corner. Jerry looks around in wonder.
Oh, what is all this?
Your studio. Isn't it beautiful?
I've got a studio.
Well, yes, I know, Jerry, but you need space. Besides, this isn't to live in, it's to work in.
I can't afford a joint like this.
Why do you always make such an issue of money?
Because I ain't got any. And when you ain't got any, it takes on a curious significance.
Don't be silly, Jerry. You'll be able to pay me back in 3 months.
3 months? What do you mean?
That's the real surprise. I'm planning your exhibition for then at the Parmentier Galleries.
My exhibition? In 3 months.
Isn't it exciting already? They're arranging the posters.
Wait a minute. Hold everything. Look, sit right down here and let's see if I can explain this thing to you. Now, look, more than anything in the world, I want to have an exhibition. But it's got to be when I'm ready, when my stuff is good enough to show to the public and critics. Now, you can't set a production date for a thing like that. Don't you understand? I'm not manufacturing paper cups.
I do understand, Jerry.
Yeah.
But you're a painter and you want people to see the things you've painted. I want that, too. Just give me an opportunity to provide a decent show at a decent gallery where people can come and see your things. Is that so extraordinary? Look, you're a painter and a good one. I happen to have a little drive. That's a good combination. Besides, you have to face the critics sometime.
Yeah, but 3 months.
Milo watches him with twinkling eyes.
Of course, it'll be work. Hard work.
Well, that doesn't matter. It.
He gestures vaguely with a paintbrush, then chews his lip and turns to face her.
I'll do it. On one condition. I pay you back.
Milo hugs him.
Oh, Jerry, I'm so glad. I would have died if you'd said no.
Later, outside, Jerry mixes paints on his palette, adding a touch of green to a large blob of white. Propped on his easel is a rendering of the Café Huguet below his apartment. Another time, he paints on the Seine River promenade, capturing the stone bridge arches. In an apartment, a young girl of about 6 squirms good-naturedly in a chair. Her mother entertains her as Jerry paints her portrait. Now, Jerry sits on a stone wall in front of a domed palace. The palace's likeness, painted in gold, glimmers on his canvas. As our view glides down to his palette, awash in thick golden tones, it dissolves to another scene. On the river promenade, Lisa sits for a portrait. Her grin flashes smooth white teeth as Jerry adjusts her hand. She holds a red rose by her cheek. As Jerry shifts it again, the rose falls. They both bend to fetch it. Their hands meet, and the two share a long, soft kiss. Later in his studio, Jerry continues to work on Lisa's portrait. He looks up, then hastily places another painting over Lisa's as Milo breezes in. She grins cheerily. Jerry pretends to be hard at work. Much later, Jerry tries his finished paintings in an ornate silver frame. He picks his way among canvases laid out on the floor, street scenes, portraits, and still lifes. Daytime outside the Café Bel Ami. Jerry paces nervously, a portfolio under his arm. Lisa runs up.
Did you think I wasn't coming?
No, I thought you would. Let's take a cab over to the Bois.
All right.
Jerry waves one down, then turns back to Lisa with a gay grin. A big black cab pulls up, and Jerry follows Lisa into the back seat.
Lancet, Rue Chambord. I want to drop my stuff off. When do you have to be back?
In an hour or so.
Well, gee, that's not much time. What kept you? Why were you so late?
Well, I wanted to tell you, Jerry,
What?
She clutches his shoulders.
Oh, Jerry, we have so little time together. Can't we have our own special world and not talk about anything that happens when we're apart? I promise you, I'll never ask you what you do when you're not with me.
Well, I suppose it's just as well.
What?
Nothing.
Why? What do you do when you're not with me?
Look, if you don't want to talk about it, okay. Let's let it go at that.
They each stare distantly.
Trey, kiss me.
They embrace. Later, their cab stops at Café Huguet. Lisa stares.
Why are we stopping here?
It's where I live. I'll be right back.
Oh, no, Jerry, let's go.
I just want to leave my things.
He gets out.
I'll be back in a minute.
Inside.
Hi, kid. What's your rush?
Busy. Say, George, give these to Therese and put in my room. Will you? I'm in a hurry.
Lisa watches from the cab.
Hey, Jerry, sit down. Have some coffee.
I can't. I got someone waiting in the cab. I'll see you later.
Jerry stops and stares. Outside, the cab drives away.
Have some coffee. You have time now.
Jerry sits, confused.
George, two coffees.
Bonjour, Jerry, Adam.
Hiya, kid.
Hey, j'ai vu les affiches annonçant dans l'exposition. Bonne chance.
Je pense que les critiques vont m'assassiner.
Parfait, pas ça va marcher, moi.
J'espère bien.
So your exhibition's set for next month, huh?
Yeah.
And what are you so glum about?
I got woman trouble.
Well, that proves you're a man.
I was her in the cab.
C'est pour vous de la femme, Adam.
Oh, merci.
A boy brings a note that reads, Jerry, sorry. I'll be waiting at the same place, L. Jerry crumples the note and throws it down.
I told you this sponsoring business was complicated. You see what happens today? Women act like men and want to be treated like women.
What are you talking about?
That girl in the cab, the suntan queen.
No, that's a different girl.
You're a busy little man these days.
Adam, I'm hoping. That girl's it.
Is she worthy of a struggling young artist?
He's worthy of anyone. Wonderful. What gets me is I don't know anything about her. We manage to be together for a few moments, and then off she goes. Sometimes we have a wonderful time together, and other times it's no fun at all. But I gotta be with her.
Yep, you're hooked.
Yep.
What's your name?
Lisa Bouvier.
Adam spills his coffee down his shirt.
George, some brandy.
Good tea.
And some cleaning fluid.
Henri Borel shows up with a wide grin.
Bonjour.
Hiya, Hank.
Jerry, Adam, may I sit down?
My guest.
Thank you. Georges and little Sherry. Adam, I have wonderful news. Wonderful news.
That's great. Tell us something, Cherry.
I'm going to be married.
He spills his brandy.
You what?
We are getting married. I'm going to America on our honeymoon. What do you think of that?
George. Another brandy. When was this decided?
Last night.
Congratulations, Hank. I'm glad somebody around here is happy.
What's the matter, Jerry?
Oh, nothing.
Tell me, maybe I can help.
Did I ever tell you about the time I gave a command performance for Hitler?
Wait, Adam. Jerry has some trouble, and I like to hear about it.
Well, it's pretty complicated, Hank. Well, I'll make it brief. There's a gal who's sponsoring me, and she's really helping me a lot. She's stuck on me. Now, there's a girl I'm stuck on. She doesn't know about the first one.
Naturally, so far, this is very ordinary.
So far.
Oh, wait. The girl I'm stuck on has got something she can't tell me about. So we go out together and go out together and get nowhere.
Adam chain smokes.
Let me ask you something. Is this girl, as you say, stuck on you?
I think so.
Then you have no problems.
Where'd they go?
I have no problems.
Of course not. There's only one real problem with a man and a woman. When one of them is in love, the other isn't.
Yeah?
After that, it's all mechanics. Have you told her you love her?
Oh, no, not in so many words. Well, you know how it is. When you don't know what goes, you're afraid to get hurt.
Well, the first thing to do is to tell her. Believe me, Jerry, with a woman, one insincere I love you that said will bring more results than 10 sincere ones that aren't.
Really?
So you go to her and tell her you love her. Then she will tell you she loves you. Then you will embrace. You will both be very happy. And then you will ask her to marry you. You want to, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Good. Then she will say yes. And then you will tell her about these other little matters. And she will tell you about hers. And you'll see, they won't seem important anymore.
Is it as simple as that?
Strange as it seems, yes. So be happy. You only find the right woman once.
That many times?
When will you be with her again?
In a little while.
So you know what to do?
I'll do it. Thanks, Hank.
Good. Oh, Adam, to be in love is to be alive. Jerry and I, we are so lucky. Eh, hey, Jerry?
Adam, he's right. There's nothing like it.
C'est formidable.
C'est magnifique.
Ha! It's wonderful. It's marvelous. She should care for me.
They share dreamy smiles.
Soft lies. Paradise, it's what I love to see.
Adam stares in a daze.
She's made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful.
Henry and Jerry stand.
It's marvelous. That she should care for me.
They stroll along the sidewalk.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
It's marvelous.
She should care for me. It's awful nice.
It's awful nice.
It's paradise.
It's paradise.
What I love to see.
Arm in arm, they parade along.
She's made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful.
Jerry tips his cap to an officer.
It's marvelous that she should care for me.
Henri leans easily on a lamppost as Jerry twirls into a carefree tap dance. Jerry smiles gaily as Henri whistles. Jerry's legs swing gracefully as he taps his heels and toes.
La-da.
Jerry shuffles sideways, bobbing his head and grinning broadly. They strut together, arm in arm.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's exceptional.
It's why I fell.
It's magnifique.
It's what I seek.
It's elegant.
It's what I want.
It's quelque chose.
From head to toe.
It's wonderful. It's
marvelous.
That she should care.
Nighttime. Outside the Café Bel Ami, Jerry jumps out of a cab. Paying the driver, he rushes to the stone wall along the river, a broad grin on his face.
Lisa!
He bounds lightly down the steps to the promenade and sweeps Lisa off her feet.
Lisa. Lisa, 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 Lisa. I have something to tell you.
Lisa looks away.
I have something to tell you.
Lisa, I love you. Do you hear? I love you, and everything's going to be all right. I know it is.
Lisa turns away.
Jerry, I won't see you anymore.
What do you mean?
I'm getting married.
You're getting... Well, Lisa, you... Lisa, you're in love with me, aren't you?
It doesn't matter whether I am or not.
It doesn't matter.
I couldn't leave him.
Who?
His name is Henri Borel.
Jerry gapes. Lisa gazes intensely into his eyes.
I practically owe him my life, Jerry. During the war, my parents worked for the resistance. I was so young, they asked Henri to hide me. And if he'd been caught, it would have been the end of him. But for 5 years, he took care of me. He was all I had, and I loved him. And he grew to love me. Now Oh, Jerry, I can't. You must understand.
Well, it's okay. There's a woman who's helping me a lot, who means so much to me, I wouldn't want to lose her for anything. My work's so important. Good luck.
Cap in hand, Jerry turns and jogs up the stone steps.
Jerry!
He pauses halfway, his back turned.
If it means anything to you, I love you.
Jerry gazes soberly down at her.
Goodbye, Liz.
Head bowed, he continues up the steps. Milo's apartment. She answers the door in her dressing gown. It's Jerry.
Hi.
Hi.
What are you doing tonight?
Well, I was just getting ready. I have a dinner date and I was...
How about breaking it?
Oh, that'd be difficult.
Jerry stares intently into her eyes.
But not impossible.
You know, some days you look exceptionally pretty.
Is this one of them?
This is one of your best.
He draws her into a strong kiss.
This is one of your good days, too.
You and I are going out tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you to the Art Students Ball. Have you ever been to one?
No.
You'll love it. It's jet-propelled New Year's Eve, and everybody in Paris will be there.
It's costume, isn't it?
Never mind. I'll take care of all that. Leave it to me. Tonight's my night.
I feel like a woman for a change.
You are. Haven't I ever mentioned it to you?
No.
You're going to hear a lot about it from now on.
They share a close gaze.
I'll be back soon. I got to take care of everything.
Jerry strides purposefully out. Later, a wild party fills a spacious hall. A scantily clad woman jumps from a mezzanine. 20 feet below, a man catches her. The partygoers all wear bold black and white costumes. Jerry and Milo wade through the dancing crowd. Milo wears a silver halter top dress and a black and white boa around her arm. Jerry sports a fool's costume with black harlequin diamonds down his right side. Art school partiers in crazy hats surround them. One man wears giant dice on his head, another a paper watering can. A man joyously picks up Milo and carries her through the crowd. Elsewhere, Adam, wearing a white cowboy outfit and hat, plays piano surrounded by admiring women. One lady holds a drink for him to sip. Suddenly, Milo barges into him. Her man takes over the piano. Milo leads Adam by the hand over to a bar. While another woman jumps from the mezzanine, Adam pours two glasses of champagne.
Honey, party's always this wild?
I don't know. This is my first.
Look at that costume.
Jerry Mulligan, a buddy of mine, made me come. Yeah, here.
Thanks.
To Jerry.
To Jerry.
His name survived his folly.
His folly? What's he doing?
He's about to give a show.
Well,
he's a painter.
So? What's wrong with that?
I get it in the neck.
So? Then why does he do it?
He's got a sponsor. He's got more than she has cash. Well, Charmaine, this is farewell. Let's not say au revoir. Just goodbye forever.
By the way, I think you might like to know I'm Jerry's sponsor.
Adam downs his drink.
I know you are.
Milo stares after him. Meanwhile, Jerry picks his way through the sea of black and white partygoers. Above him, a woman drops from the mezzanine right into his arms. He passes her off to another man. Nearby, Henri and Lisa dance arm in arm, smiling happily. Milo finds Jerry again.
Jerry!
Well, the vanishing American!
Fine.
They dance.
I met a friend of yours just now.
Who?
She points out Adam.
Him.
That's Adam Cook. He's a concert pianist.
That's funny. I never heard of him before.
It's not funny. He's never given a concert.
Henri sees them.
Oh, Jerry! Hi, Hank. Oh, what a pleasant surprise.
Well, me too. Oh, Jerry, this is Liz.
How do you do?
Hello.
And Miss Roberts. Milo, this is Henri Borel and Phil Say.
Hello. This is our last night in Paris. We are driving to Le Havre at dawn to get married. And then we leave for America.
Well, that sounds very romantic.
Let's dance,
Henri. Oui,
nice to have met you.
I see you later. Jerry, that little advice I gave you this afternoon, it worked out fine, yes?
Yeah, it worked out great.
Good.
Henri leaves. Jerry leads Milo into another dance.
Haven't I seen that girl somewhere before?
I don't know.
They seem very familiar.
Meanwhile...
What a nice boy. He's a painter, a friend of Adam's.
A troubled frown clouds Lisa's smooth face.
Are you all right, Jerry?
Yes, Henri.
Lisa forces a brief smile. Milo and Jerry watch from afar. Jerry takes her aside.
Milo, I'm a fake. I'm not full of life and good spirits. It's just the reverse. I shouldn't have brought you tonight. I'm sorry.
That girl?
Yeah.
In the nightclub?
I'm in love with her.
Milo searches for words.
I think I need some champagne.
Smiling softly, she pats his hand and moves off. Jerry's gaze turns to the dance floor as happy couples twirl past. His white cap perches above his chiseled, brooding features. Our view glides above the heads of the crowd, past a lightning bolt hat and a puffy silver crown. Later, confetti and streamers fill the air as Jerry makes his solemn way through the crowd to a door. Squeezing past a cluster of costumed revelers, he finds himself on a balcony overlooking the city. He picks up a pen from a table and strolls to the railing. Gazing out at the distant Eiffel Tower, he brushes confetti from his broad shoulders. He picks up a party flyer from the floor. He turns it blank side up on the flat railing and starts drawing with the pen. Inside, Lisa wanders among dancing couples, her face blank. She finds Jerry on the balcony sketching earnestly. She wears a white dress with frills of tulle and a tiara of black stars in her curly hair. Jerry looks up.
I didn't know you were getting married so quickly.
I couldn't tell you.
Tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, Jerry, it's so dreadful standing next to you like this and not having your arms around me.
You'll always be standing next to me, Lisa.
Jerry looks away as her troubled gaze seeks his. Lisa picks up the sketch, a simple drawing of the gateway to the Place de la Concorde.
Maybe not always. Paris has ways of making people forget.
Paris? No. Not this city. It's too real and too beautiful. Never let you forget anything. Reaches in and opens you wide, and you stay that way. I know. I came to Paris to study and to paint. Because Utrillo did, and Lautrec did, and Rouault did. I loved what they created, and I thought something would happen to me, too. Well, it happened all right.
He takes the sketch.
Now, what have I got left? Paris.
He tears it.
Maybe that's enough for some, but it isn't for me anymore. Because the more beautiful everything is, the more it'll hurt without you.
Jerry, don't let me leave you this way.
Jerry's eyes press shut. He turns, and they embrace passionately. Jerry tries to kiss her. She pulls away and hurries inside. Head bowed and shoulders hunched, Jerry turns back to the railing and gazes into the night. Our view scans leisurely over the city's countless houses and lit windows. On the balcony to Jerry's left, cigarette smoke drifts over a leafy potted plant. Out of view behind a pillar, Henri stands at the railing, cigarette in hand. In his caped, boldly striped costume, he turns from the railing and takes a slow drag. Grimly, he stubs the cigarette under his shoe and walks dazedly inside. Jerry, unaware, stares out, his features tense with anguish. His sketch lies torn in half in the street. Below the balcony, Henri and Lisa descend steps to a waiting cab. Before Lisa climbs in, she turns and gazes up at Jerry, who heaves a stoic sigh. Lisa gets into the cab, but continues to stare up at Jerry from the window. On the balcony, shadows of partygoers flit across Jerry's costume as he sits on the railing, his eyes pressed shut. In the cab, tears fill Lisa's blue eyes, glistening in the light of passing street lamps. Henri watches her sadly as she holds back sobs. On the balcony, Jerry's grim brown eyes watch as a strange wind blows confetti through the street. One half of Jerry's torn sketch tumbles over to the other half, joining perfectly into the image of the Place de la Concorde gateway. Turning away with a deep sigh, Jerry leans on the railing and gazes out once more. His eyes dart under a heavy, brooding brow. Now, wearing black pants and a black shirt with a white collar, the ghostly, transparent image of Jerry emerges from within his now life-sized sketch. He stops at the sight of a red rose lying on the ground, the only splash of color in this black and white dream, and scoops it up with a wondering gaze. Jerry whirls around in surprise as the sketch comes alive with color. Women in long white wedding gowns dance into the scene and surround him, trapping him in their swirling white veils. The women freeze in demure poses. Jerry sprints away. Other dancers in red dresses spring out at him, then skip off. A mustached officer waves Jerry down the street, where townspeople pose among paper light posts and statues. Bewildered, Jerry leaps into a crowd of pedestrians, school children in sailor costumes, gentlemen in gray tuxedos, and women in capes and hats. Jerry dances past a one-man band. A woman throws her red shawl around his shoulders and wraps him up. Jerry spins free and twirls around in a circle, gazing pleadingly at the townspeople. Everyone turns away. The women in the strapless red dresses surround him. One throws herself at him. Jerry dips her in a stylized kiss and twirls her in his arms. The four sirens flit away. Jerry runs in the opposite direction. A troop of soldiers wearing gold helmets sprints into the plaza in perfect unison, their feet grazing the floor with each leaping step. Skipping sideways with hopping crossovers, the soldiers move to one side of the central fountain and stand at attention. Everyone freezes. Jerry stares in surprise at the sight of a man in a blue cape and white turban. The man stares intently at Jerry, swiveling his head from side to side. Jerry turns to flee, but the sirens rush up behind him, across the fountain. The set goes black, leaving Jerry caught in the kaleidoscope of spotlights. He dashes away. Our view jostles behind him through the confusion. A smiling Lisa runs to the fountain. She wears a sheer white dress and carries a red rose. Jerry spots her through the crowd and leaps up to meet her. Lisa disappears through the fountain's mist. The sirens reach out to Jerry with their red-gloved hands. He backs away in fear, leaving a background of glowing lights twirling through the fog. The scene dissolves to a misty park. Thin strands of moonlight filter through the trees. One by one, morning lights turn on and illuminate a path lined with flower stalls. Jerry paces slowly toward them. A flower girl offers him a bloom. Jerry brushes past her and wanders toward a stall brimming with flowers. A red rose nestles against a bed of white ones. Jerry picks it up with a dreamy, tender smile and waves it under his nose, then closes his eyes and spreads his arms wide. Wearing a pastel blue dress sprinkled with silk leaves, Lisa dances in on her toes, her arms waving gracefully. She leans back against Jerry, who presses his cheek to hers and lifts her weightlessly off her feet in a slow, fluid twirl. Jerry sets her gently back onto the ground. Lisa takes the rose, rises onto one toe, and raises her arms over her head. Jerry takes her hands and lowers her to the ground, her body bent backward in a graceful arc. Jerry twirls away. Lisa reaches out imploringly. Jerry hesitates, then turns and pulls her into his arms. Lisa leans against him and wraps her arms around his neck. Jerry lifts her and spins her around in a slow circle. The scene dissolves to a deserted Parisian street corner. Jerry opens his eyes to find his arms full of colorful flowers and Lisa gone. He lets the flowers fall to the street. He bows his head in despair and sags dejectedly against a wall. Four American servicemen burst onto the street and spot Jerry. They confer in a quick huddle, then greet him with a broad salute. Jerry responds with a listless wave. They grab him by his arms and legs and toss him in the air. Jerry hops to the ground and shakes their hands with a broad grin. They sprint into a clothing store. Five candy striped suits disappear from the mannequins. The Americans emerge wearing the suits and straw hats, then swagger down the street. The troop of French soldiers marches past with their leaping stride into a park where French children wearing colorful berets laugh at a Punch and Judy puppet show. Nearby, acrobats and leotards tumble and flip. Life-sized painted animals graze in a paper zoo. The French soldiers practice marching in formation, then pair off with a group of young women who wear straw hats and striped dresses. The young women, including Lisa, dance in circles around the kneeling soldiers, wiggling their hips flirtatiously. The head soldier turns to blow his bugle while the men and the girls snap to attention and salute. The soldiers drop kisses onto the girls' gloved hands and march away while the girls tiptoe on point and wave goodbye. With Lisa in front, the girls line up in neat rows. They leap up and down on their toes, the ribbons on their straw hats bobbing sassily behind them. The girls spin around in a circle like a small carousel, their striped skirts swirling up around their hips. They join hands and skip toward us, then break the chain and twirl around on their toes like a row of slender tops. Now, five straw boater hats appear over a hill. Swinging their walking canes, Jerry and the four other Americans walk toward us with wide, swaggering steps. They stop to tip their hats to the French soldiers who march in and stand in front of them. The Americans dance out from between the rows of soldiers and line up in a synchronized soft shoe. Swinging their canes from side to side, they shuffle and kick their feet, then wave their hats over their heads. Jerry spots Lisa and saunters up behind her. She stands frozen with her hand on one hip. He dances beside her with flashy steps and a cocky grin. She ignores him and turns away. Undaunted, Jerry twirls his cane and dances around her with athletic kicks and spins. Lisa finally smiles at Jerry's antics and sidles toward him. Everyone in the park gathers around to watch Jerry dance with Lisa, who coyly stays two dainty steps ahead of him. The four Americans join Jerry and march in place. Lisa tiptoes behind him. The girls line up behind Lisa and the Americans, who tip their hats to the soldiers. The Frenchmen return the salute and imitate their stiff-legged, waddling march. Everyone in the park joins in a jumble of bright colors and waving arms. Jerry and Lisa march up to the edge of the fountain. The lights dim suddenly, leaving them black silhouettes against a glowing orange haze. Jerry sweeps Lisa up into his arms. Her head sinks onto his shoulder. Dreamy light bathes the fountain's foggy canopy. Lisa, now in an emerald green bodysuit with a filmy skirt, stands and gazes into his eyes. Jerry, wearing black pants and a snug short-sleeved shirt, twirls her slowly, then sets her down. Lisa starts to run away. Jerry grabs her hand. Arms intertwined, they sink languidly to the ground. Lisa dashes away, then turns and leaps. Jerry catches her waist and slides her down his chest. Standing side by side, they hold hands and wander blissfully. The light burns red as Jerry falls to his knees. Lisa swings over him and dips her lips close to his. Lisa drapes herself over a statue. Jerry caresses her bare arm. As he stands, Lisa curls into his embrace. She drifts down. Her legs split gracefully across his muscular frame. Hugging her close, he slides her pointed toe across the floor. They part, then Lisa climbs the statue. Jerry lifts her, and she wraps her thighs around his waist. She glides down his leg and arches her back. They spin away from each other, then return for a slow, tender kiss, enclosed in a single column of light. Tendrils of fog swirl around them. A breeze rustles Lisa's skirt. Now, outside a museum, Jerry and Lisa dance among a group of elegantly dressed pedestrians, frozen into various poses. They come to life as Jerry and Lisa pass. Hand in hand, they dash into a cafe and raise glasses of wine to their lips. Lisa wears a sequined gown with a flowing tulle skirt. Jerry and Lisa twirl through the colorfully dressed crowd with a series of partners. Then they join hands and spin around in joyous circles. They stop beside a man wearing a sandwich board which reads, Toulouse-Lautrec Exposition. A sketch on the other side depicts a male dancer in a bistro. Jerry imitates the pose. Then he's suddenly the subject inside the drawing. Wearing a tight beige outfit and cap, he dances in a sketched bistro around paper cutout patrons. Stiff, controlled movements, Jerry leaps and twirls in and out of the subject's pose, with one arm raised in the air and one leg bent in front of the other. He breaks into a knock-kneed walk, then shoots out his arms and flashes his hands. Shuffling over to a table, he spots a group of can-can dancers on a stage. Jerry leaps onto the stage. The dancers sashay away, except for Lisa, who wears a blonde wig beneath a feather-plumed bonnet. She lifts her ruffled skirt to her hips and kicks her black-stockinged legs high in the air. Jerry follows her off the stage onto the bistro floor. He dances around her, skimming the ground with twisting steps as Lisa draws seductive circles on the floor with one high-heeled foot. Side by side, they leap into the air, kicking their legs behind them like galloping horses. The other dancers join Lisa. They each hold up one leg as Jerry leans back on all fours, kicking out his arms and legs over and over. He leaps to his feet and takes Lisa by the hand. They prance through the bistro, which turns back into the front of the museum. Jerry and Lisa twirl around in a smiling embrace, their image multiplied in a kaleidoscope of tall, spinning mirrors. The swirling flame-colored skirts of dancers turn scarlet red. Jerry, now in black, and Lisa in white, leap to the fountain in the center of the plaza, which is filled with the characters from the dream. Place de la Concorde is empty, except for Jerry, who dashes an alarm to the gate. One by one, the colors fade from the background sketch. Jerry spins around slowly and picks up the red rose from the ground. The lights fade to black, leaving the rose alone in the spotlight. Back at the art student's ball, Jerry emerges from his reverie with a sad blink. He bows his head and turns to go back inside. He dashes back and peers down into the street. Lisa gazes up at him as she steps out of Henri's car. With an understanding smile, Henri places a quick kiss on her lips and turns away. Jerry, his face beaming ecstatically, waves and bounds down the long staircase two steps at a time while Lisa dashes up to meet him. They fling their arms around each other and press their lips together in an urgent, passionate kiss. Hand in hand, they start slowly down the stairs into the Parisian night. A title appears, The End, made in Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.